morning, everyone. This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is TS Radio. With me tonight is Danny Tate, and we are broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. Welcome to the show, everybody, and welcome, Danny.
Thank you very much, Marty. Good to be here tonight.
Yes, it is. You've done a lot of traveling in the last week or so, and so I appreciate you making the extra effort to get here. We just wanted to kind of touch base with everybody, let you know that we're here, and we'll be having some meetings over the next few days, and hopefully we can get something productive out of this. A lot of people traveling in from other places to go to this summit. This is the first time ever guardianship panel that we'll be on. We'll be dealing with conservatorship also, which is part of that. And, of course, Gene Kasem will be there talking about the abuse of the press and how it can be used against you, how it can be used to do what we call character assassination, which was quite successful in her case. I use that word. I don't know what other word to use. I would be ashamed to have done this to someone else myself, but that's me. Danny, what do you hope will come out of this the next few days?
Well, listen, my awareness, for one, and awareness has increased dramatically in the last 7 years. And but awareness, I hope that we can further keep the momentum building and bring about some the much-needed changes, oversight. This is happening so often, so common, and it's but yet it's a big secret. As one attorney called it, it's the dark hole of the legal system, the black hole. I'm sorry, he called it the black hole of the legal system. Mm-hmm. And it has gone on. People are still shocked when they hear about it for the first time.
Yes.
But this has been going on for a long time. It's just that's what they do. They keep it a big secret. And I want the big, dirty secret to get out, and I want it to stop. It ruined my life, and I want my life back.
Well, hopefully we can facilitate that. One of the things in one of the conversations I had today, I was asked what I thought needed to be done here. And my personal view is, and when I talk, Danny, I'm always talking just for me. I don't belong to any groups. I do my own thing and do my own talking. And
right on.
But what I think first has to happen is the dissolving of these administrative courts. And second to that is an abolishing of the bar associations across the country. There is nothing in our Constitution that says we must go to this closed union to get any representation, or that they can prevent us from representing ourselves and forcing us to hire another union member. What I tried to explain to the official today was these are unions. They are no different than any other trade union, only this one has monopolized our courts, taken over what is passing today for law, and doing all of this in such a way that they profit from it. And this is a monopoly. We don't allow monopolies. The Supreme Court has been very firm on this. We caused AT&T to bust up some years ago because they were in the process of forming a monopoly. The Bar Association is no different. I don't know, and I'd like to hear your take on this, Danny, why someone should have to go through this expensive college and get a degree in law and then have to take a test, another test after graduation for whatever bar they want to serve in order to get a card permitting them to practice what they traded for. If they don't get this bar card, they can't get into any court. Now, what do you think about that?
Well, listen, you know what? This is the point that this is the big picture that I think you're addressing. And, you know, this whole idea of a monopoly, listen, this is new information to me. And what I tell people, I'm always learning when I get on the show with Marty. And, you know, when they first drug me into a conservatorship back in 2007, 10 years ago, you know, I wasn't a lawyer. I didn't know the law. I didn't even know what a conservatorship was. I didn't have an attorney. The court appointed me an attorney, and this attorney was a guy who was in on the racket, and participating in the Grab Fest. Everybody was on the gravy train. The only person that wasn't truly represented in this proceeding was me, the person
exactly.
who they were supposed to be serving my best interest. Now, listen, this whole idea of, you know, having to pass the bar, you know, this is the first time that question's been presented to me. So I think I want to sit here and learn from you, Marty. I think that's, you know, really important. You asked me a question. I want to interject this, and we can address it later. You know, as is, there is little to no oversight over these courts that have been vested with the authority to adjudicate these guardianships and conservatorships. Now, I have left the state of Tennessee where they put me in a conservatorship. I'm living in Kentucky. In Kentucky, it requires a jury trial to initiate a guardianship. And it also requires, it's either 4 or 5 experts writing up a report and testifying in front of this jury. And Kentucky, coincidentally enough, is a state that we don't hear a lot, if any, about guardianship abuse and exploitation. My point being is that in a conservatorship, you are stripped of all your legal rights, all your civil rights, all your constitutional rights that are afforded every American citizen. And if you are going to strip a person of those rights, divest them of them, then every constitutional provision should be put between the person and being stripped of their constitutional rights. And that includes, and most importantly, a jury trial. Now, you know, now let's get to the bigger question. You know, this part about, you know, an attorney in the bar. I want to hear what you have to say on that, Marty, because it's a new question to me. I need to read up and study on it, and I want to start by hearing what you have to say.
Well, every bar is so there's bar associations operating in every state, and there can be multiple bars. For the district you're in, there can be one. I mean, there can be the state bar. There can it exists in all different forms, but every state has bar associations. And
yes.
when you graduate law school, after you've gone in debt close to $250,000 most times and gotten these advanced degrees into law, you for some reason cannot practice law without applying to the bar association where you want to practice law, taking the contrived test that they put out there, and paying them money to do it. Many times in California, it's like $3,000 to $4,000 to pass the bar exam. Now, why you have to be examined by these people is beyond me. You graduated college, didn't you? Got
that's
a degree,
a great
didn't
point.
You?
And
you have to pay them. So you have to take this test, and if you don't pass it, you have to pay to take it again.
Understood.
And then, okay, then every year you have to take classes, or then you can do this online, updating you. You have to pay fees for these classes in order to keep your license. What I'm saying is in any other trade, and this is a trade no different from just because they didn't pick up a hammer, literally, doesn't mean it's not
yes.
a trade. They trained for it. They got a degree in it. They're paying for that degree. And now they have to pay what to me is the legal mafia in order to practice put into practice what they studied. That shouldn't be happening. And this is a union. It operates when Scott Walker out in Wisconsin threw that big fit about the unions. Oh, it was the unions. They were breaking this day. Oh, it was the unions. This, it was the union. Oh, these terrible unions. He never mentioned the Bar Association in his state, which is the across the country, the largest, most powerful union in the country. Never said a word about it. Of course, he belongs to it, so why would he? And
exactly.
But he just, you know, never said a word about it. They have monopolized our courts. The reason so many people have trouble as a pro se getting into court is because they're trying to prevent you from getting in there and trying to force you to hire one of their union members.
Union members. Wow.
Yes. Okay, that's when your court-appointed attorney, when they won't let you hire your own, and say, no, we're going to appoint you an attorney. That's what they're doing. They're employing another union member. They're giving them work. And no one, there is nothing in our Constitution that says anything about having to hire a lawyer or that they must be a member of any union in order to be in that courtroom. It says we are entitled to representation, even if that is self-representation. Now, what that representation consists of is up to the person attempting to enter the court. But what happens is, you talked about these oversight boards. You have these bar associations running, and then you have a judicial oversight board or a bar oversight board. And you've got the same people belonging to the same union making a decision on whether or not one of their members did something wrong. Now, how do you suppose that turns out?
Exactly.
And, exactly. And it's just like
favorable to the union member.
Yes, exactly.
And the union itself.
Yes. Out in California, they found that the oversight committee out there, out of 100 complaints, only found one that they would do anything about, and then it was a slap on the hand.
Right.
These oversight boards operate as a protection racket. You can't get past them. Then there is the interference with legislation. Who do you think wrote the statutes in all these states? The Bar Association.
The union members.
Yes. And who does it profit and who does it exempt from any penalties or enforcement? Other members.
The union members.
Mm-hmm. And so you can't touch them. I always like to use Florida's statutes because they're really blatant. It will talk about, it's you can't do this, you can't do that. If you do this, it's, you're going to be in trouble. And then two little asterisks, it does not apply to professional guardians or attorneys. We have a Hershberger, the former AG of Massachusetts, who has come out with a bill up there giving outright immunity to people who engage with elderly people on any level, whether it's attorney, a guardian, healthcare worker, whatever, giving them immunity from ordinary from ordinary negligence at the very least. And I wrote and asked him to explain what exactly ordinary negligence was, because the definition of this escapes me. And he followed this up with getting a bill that they're trying to push through that makes everybody down to your podiatrist a mandated reporter. It forces mental evaluations. And, of course, this is goes against any mental evaluation. It's supposed to be voluntary. And so, you have all of this in play. You had S-178 that comes out that is nothing but this Elder Justice and Protection Act, whatever it was. It is a 9-page bill that is nothing more than a reiteration of standing federal and state laws against wiretap, fraud, internet scams, phone scams against the elderly. We've already got those on the books. So what was the clinker in it? Pages 5 and 6. Where they have to further empower and fund this expanded list of agencies who have targeted us. And so that they can't be touched.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
Yeah. Yes. And this was the clinker in it. And I've tried to warn several people about this. This has nothing to do with protecting you. Going back to this bar association, who do you think wrote this bill? We know the senators didn't. It is written specifically to protect bar members. What happens, let's ask the question, what happens when you get an attorney that actually does try to represent you? If they don't stop when they're told to stop, if they won't have ex parte meetings with the judge and the other attorney and the guardian and agree to how this is going to come out, they get sanctioned and investigated and eventually disbarred. And what it does is
kicked out of the union.
Yes. Kicked out of the union.
Wow.
And they don't stop there. They ruin their practice. They plant stories all over the place to destroy their character.
Yes.
They ruin them financially. It's called character assassination. They make it so bad that they cannot get a job doing anything else. And this is to punish you and to make sure you understand they're running the show.
Yeah.
And this is who wrote these statutes, and this is who profits from them. We had that bill come out down in Florida 2 years ago. I did the research on that bill and sent it over to the person that asked me to do it. Told him, line 32, they set up a new agency within the probate system that must, underline, capital letters, must be headed by a member of the Bar Association. Why? This is the trap. You will never get out of that system.
Yes.
That's the whole thing. Once you're in it, and you know this, Danny, from your own experience, once you're in it, there's no getting out. There's no getting out. And even if you get to a point, as you have, where, you know, you're basically left alone now, because they're still, accessing all of your royalties, taking everything from you. But
And asserting control over my banking institutions.
Yes. So it didn't ever really end.
No.
And so there's no getting out. All of this is facilitated by this Bar Association. And like I say, they have monopolized our court, even our Supreme Court. They came out in 2013 and made a new rule that to get a case heard in front of them, you have to apply to their bar. They're not supposed to have a bar. You apply to their bar. You have to be an attorney in good standing for 4 years, wherever it is you're in practice. Meaning you've got all your dues paid and you've played the game. And if they will accept you into their bar then, and then you can bring a case in front of them if they decide to hear it. But there was that one little oddity in their rule 28.8 that they would no longer hear pro se cases. They have no authority whatsoever to do anything of the kind. But they did it.
Yes.
And Brian Kinter will talk about how that was a result of him, and it was. But they have not heard a pro se case since 1974. Now, why would you inject such a statement in 2013 into rules for the court? And it was because of Brian. Well, Brian had beat him all the way through, learned the law, did it on his own. That man fought a battle, I cannot believe, to get his children back. And he won, finally. But anyway, we'll be talking with him on Friday.
Expense.
Yes,
yeah.
What expense. And just to try to get taken care of legally. But this is, like I say, this is what I want to see happen, Danny. And I have expressed this today here in D.C. This control of the bar associations and these judges over what is laughingly called our judicial system has got to stop.
Yes.
And I've said repeatedly, we are never in more danger than we are when we are forced into one of these probate or family courts. You are never, never in more danger.
Absolutely. You know, Marty, I tell you what, I love this. Another layer has been peeled back for me tonight. You know, realizing, you know, you pointing out the constitutional guarantee and how this is absolutely contrary to this constitutional guarantee that we are supposed to is supposed to be our right, and calling this a union, it's exactly what it is, and a monopoly.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, the lights have gone on. Thank you. Listen, I have no problem telling people. Listen. You know, being on Marty's show with Marty, I learn more than I do, in the books. So, thank you.
Well, I try hard to get information out to people, make them realize what they're dealing with. I suggested today that what we needed was citizens committees. At one time, Danny, about 7 years ago, I was down at the Minnesota legislature, and I said something then about we needed, you know, community oversight of what was going on in these courts because the way it was operating was a disservice to the community. And I had a state level judge say to me, he says, well, that'll never happen. He said, you know, he said, we can't let that. He said, what do you know about the law? I said, well, apparently, judged on what I've seen come out of your courtroom, as much as you do. And yeah. I said, and probably a little bit more. Go ahead.
Here's where he's contradicting his own oversight committee. See, when you're overseeing the judges, it's not about knowing the law. It's about knowing their code of ethics that governs them. And that's what these judicial boards, they go, well, no, you can't try to appeal your case in a complaint. You have to show where the judge violated the judicial code of ethics. Well, listen, citizens, my first time through, I learned the judicial code of ethics, you know, reading it through and turned around and filed a complaint that stuck. And they were wondering where the heck I came from, you know.
Yeah.
And this is the problem, by the way, with most judicial complaints. People try to appeal their cases in law, but what you have to do is you have to show specifically how a judge violated the judicial code of ethics, the canons and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with these attorneys. You know, you're not appealing your case. You're showing how they have violated the rules of professional conduct. So, listen, I'm already working with legislators in Tennessee trying to get them to abolish SUNCET, as they call it, the Judicial Board of Conduct and the Board of Professional Responsibility, and replace them with committees comprised of citizens, specially trained citizens. It doesn't require knowing the law. It requires knowing their code of ethics.
Right. And
so what did he say to
that,
this judge that questioned
you? He said, that can't happen. And he said, see, you don't understand why we set up these lesser courts. He said, we were just swamped. And he said, if we hadn't done it, he said, we'd have had to hire more judges and more courtrooms. I said, isn't that exactly what you did? And at the same time, you set up an arbitrary system of statutes and codes that violate their constitutional rights. How handy was that? And he got really red-faced and walked off. But that's the thing here. Our Constitution, I've seen these tribunals. They are tribunals by definition. And what happens when you go in there and you become a ward of the state? If you are truly incapacitated or incompetent, your rights should be preserved above anybody else's because you're at a disadvantage. Instead, you suffer what is called a civil death, which this in the law says is the same thing as a natural death in its legal consequences. And it is what happens when a person commits a felony. They suffer a civil death. They lose certain civil rights, but they do not lose their constitutional natural rights and liberties.
Yes.
They do not lose that. They can't vote. They can't leave and go to work. They can't choose where they're going to live. But they retain the right to due process, to face their accusers, to work on their own case. All of that. People that are wards have become non-entities. They now refer to them as units. Units.
Wow.
You've suffered a civil death. That guardianship is the ultimate in identity theft.
It is.
That person who got made a ward, their identity is stolen from them and given them to this third party, to this person.
And in the hands. And in the hands of the ill-intended, which is the case most of the time, I believe.
Yes.
In the hands of the ill-intended, it is the most thorough ruin that you can perpetrate on a person.
Right. Yeah. You steal their identity. You now speak for them. You act as them. You are given a testamentary of power, allowing them to sell your home, your possessions, everything that was you. You cannot do anything. Now, one thing they will do many times is allow you to still vote. You're so incapacitated, so incompetent, you know, you can't manage your own affairs, but you can go vote. And that's so that you can't sue them for civil rights violations.
Yeah.
And these are two different sets of rules and things mm-hmm. there. Civil rights are privileges granted by the government. What they grant, they can take away. And your natural rights and liberties are protected in the Constitution. Those are what they take from you. Those
yes.
are what they are. They strip you down to where you do not exist. And everything
yes.
that you worked for, like in your case, your life's work is stolen from you and given to someone
yes.
else.
Yes.
And this is what happens. So this is what we're going to be working on this week here.
Right
we both
on.
Had a long day traveling, and
yes.
we got a few things done. We got more things planned for the next couple of days. And we will be on that panel come Friday morning, come hell or high water, speaking our piece. And so anybody that can make it there, I hope you will attend. Everybody is welcome. You can go to www.whistleblowers.com and search the page there and look for summit events and click on that. It'll give you a whole roster of what's going on over the 4-day period. There's a lot of events, a lot of things happening. There's also contact information there, and do what you need to do. Danny, you have anything you want to add before we close this off?
No, I'm excited about our panel. I know that it's going to – we've got great speakers, and we're going to make a difference, Marty.
I think so, too. I think so, too. I hope this will be the catalyst for getting this out from the shadows where it's talked about openly and the public realizing – this could happen to them at any time for any reason, any
yes.
reason. And it's the, for the people over 60, it's the new age crime of aging with assets. For
mm-hmm.
people like Danny, it's a successful career that was coveted by someone else. And so they took the proceeds from it under false claims. Nobody is exempt from this. If you've got something they want, You're up for grabs. And just one thing I want to add, people stop going to these elder law attorneys who promise to show you the way to avoid
yeah.
guardianship and conservatorship because it ain't worth the paper it's written on.
No.
Any probate judge in this country does, can, and will discard any freestanding legal instruments as soon as we got a predator guardian standing there going, gimme, gimme, gimme. And so all of that attorney's perpetrating a fraud on you because they know if they're the expert they claim to be, that those papers don't hold up. Danny, we got 90 seconds left. What do you got to say to close this out?
Well, Marty, I tell you, this is something where it oftentimes happens by a family member. And I am constantly hearing from good church people even saying, you know, I just can't understand why a family member would do this. And I say, church person, it's in the Bible. It's the second story after creation. Cain killed his brother Abel.
Yes.
You know, he envied him. He
yes.
wanted what he had. It's the next story in the Bible when Joseph's brother sold him into slavery.
Slavery.
It is oftentimes, if not most of the time, the family. And which
yes.
is a sad testament to the state of affairs.
And it allows the access of these predatory guardians and these fee-churning attorneys. And once
yes.
they get involved, you might as well hang it up because you can't win against them. The court is rigged, and that's a fact. It's rigged. We've got wired judges all over the country. Anyway, we're going to close this down. Just wanted to touch base with everybody, let you know we're here, we're on the job, and we will be reporting back when we get home sometime later next week. Anyway, good night, everybody.
Good night.